Thank you so much for joining us for SPIRIT, the stimulating program initiative for retirees that inspires the way. I'm Judy Steinig, Senior Director of the OU's Department of Community Projects and Partnerships and coordinator and host for SPIRIT. The OU started SPIRIT several years ago as an on-site program, and now we're happy to present it as an online program for retirees, not yet retirees, baby boomers, empty nesters, sandwich generation parents, and seniors, everyone who is looking for educational, intellectual, and spiritual growth. Since the beginning of the pandemic, SPIRIT continues to be the safe and ideal way for everyone to connect and learn together in a virtual setting. Today's program, which is a pre-recording straight from Eretz Yisrael from the OU Israel Center, is called Stones with Soul, the story of the miraculous return of the Jewish Quarter. We are so pleased to have it presented by Rabbi Sam Shore, Program Director of the Seymour J. Abrams OU Jerusalem World Center. We thank them so much, the OU Israel, for coordinating this program, which is in honor of Yom Yerushalayim. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you, Rabbi Shore, for your presentation.
Shalom, friends. My name is Rabbi Sam Shore. I'm the program director here at the Seymour J. Abrams Orthodox Union Jerusalem World Center in Yerushalayim, Yer Kodesh. It's a beautiful day in Yerushalayim, and I thought it might be an opportunity for us to take a walk together and get a glimpse of what it might be like to walk together through the streets of the Ir Atika, the Old City, as we revisit the incredible events of the return of the Jewish people to Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, following the Six-Day War. So in the next few moments, we'll have the opportunity to walk those cobblestones together and tell that beautiful story and share that beautiful story with one another. So we're about to enter the Old City from Har Tzion, from Mount Zion. Directly behind us is the Zion Gate, Shar Tzion. Now, of course, these walls that are behind us, we call the Old City walls, but in reality, they're relatively new construction for this territory of the world. These walls, of course, were built by the Ottomans a little bit more than 550 years ago. And Be'ezrat Hashem, on our walk today, we'll see the original, or at least the remnant of the original Old City walls. But we're going to take a step inside Shar Tzion, and we'll share our first story within the walls of the Old City in just a moment. So we're now standing just inside Shar Tzion, and I want to share with you an incredible story that is told by Matagor. Matagor was the Lieutenant Colonel Matagor, was the commanding officer of all the forces who were involved in the recapture of the Old City in June of 1967. And in his memoirs, Matagor tells a story of what happened during that magical moment when Matagor's own voice calls out over army radio, Harabayit Biyadenu, Harabayit Biyadenu. The Temple Mount is in our hands, the Temple Mount is in our hands. As that kol kore, as that announcement went out over army radio, the most incredible thing happens. There was a group, a plugah of soldiers, of Israeli soldiers, who would not call themselves dati. They would call themselves chiloni, and that's an important detail that we're going to get to in just a moment. They were standing just behind us, just outside Shar Tzion, just outside the Zion Gate, and they heard Matagor's voice call out, Harabai Biyadenu, Harabai Biyadenu. And the chayalim turned to one another and said, we need to make our way to the Kotel Maravi, to the Western Wall. Now, if these were chayalim in the ages of 18, 19, 20, 21, they were young men. And if the Old City was, from 1948 to 1967, completely off limits to any footsteps of any Jewish individuals, that means that these youngsters had never been to the Kotel in their lives. And for those of us that are not frequent visitors of the Old City, the Old City today that's been rebuilt and reconstructed can be very confusing. A lot of narrow alleyways to navigate. But imagine in those days, for 19 years, the Jordanians had basically destroyed any remnant of Jewish life here in the Old City. Many of the buildings had been destroyed, had been left in ruins and in rubble. And then couple that with several days of the most intense guerrilla warfare you can imagine in those narrow alleyways, which were now filled with blown out vehicles and probably even bodies laying in the street. And these chayalim that had never been to the Kotel begin to navigate their way through that maze and through all that rubble to find their way to the Kotel. And suddenly, in the midst of all that chaos, they see an incredible vision. They see an elderly Jewish man, rabbinic-looking fellow, in classic rabbinic garb, a long black coat with a long white beard, skipping through the streets and singing the Tehillim of Hallel. And one of the chayalim, again, they would call themselves secular, turns to their friends and says, "Miza, who is this that's walking ahead of us?" And one of his fellow soldiers turned to him and says, "Zo Mashiach. This has to be Mashiach." In the midst of the miracle, in the midst of that incredible event unfolding before their very eyes, these chayalim, they would not identify as religious. They called themselves chiloni. They were so moved by that miraculous event that they were certain that this elderly gentleman ahead of them had to be Mashiach, that they were greeting Mashiach. Of course, I'll let you into the punchline as to who that was. It was none other than the great Reb Aryeh Levin, the Tzaddik of Yerushalayim, Zecher Tzaddik B'Kadosh Livracha, who as soon as he heard the Kol Kore, Harabai B'Yadenu, Harabai B'Yadenu, he didn't wait for the all clear. He immediately ran to the Old City to be able to daven once again at the Kotel Maravi. And those chayalim that were gathered here just a few steps behind us, they followed Reb Aryeh all the way to the Kotel Maravi. Come. So as we walked into Shar Tzion just a moment ago, we spoke about those chayalim. The chayalim who thought in the midst of the miraculous events of the return to the Ir Atika, to hearing that miraculous moment of the announcement that Har HaBayit was once again in our hands. These chayalim were so moved that they thought it must be the Mashiach had arrived. So what do we do with that story? What do we do with the miraculous moments? How do we understand the miraculous moments of June of 1967, the miraculous events of the return of Am Yisrael to the heart of our nation, to the Ir Atika, to the old city, the ancient city of Jerusalem? How do we understand those miraculous events within the greater context of Jewish history? There's an incredible teaching, a beautiful, beautiful teaching from the Noam Elimelech, the great Hasidic master, Rabbi Elimelech of Lizhensk. Each and every single morning, we recite the words as part of Shirat Hayam. We recall the miraculous event of Kriyat Yamsuf, the splitting of the Sea of Reeds. We recite the pasuk, the verse, Uvenei Yisrael halchu b'yabasha b'toch hayam. And the Jewish people walked on dry land within the sea. And most of us interpret and understand that verse to mean that as the sea split, the Jewish people were actually walking on dry land. The land wasn't muddy underneath them. They literally were walking on dry land. But the Noam Elimelech offers a different perspective. And the Noam Elimelech suggests and says that the Jewish people were so moved by that miracle, the sea splitting. They were so transformed. They were so changed by the miracle of the sea splitting and walking amidst the split sea, that once they were once again on Yabasha, on the other side of the sea, once again standing comfortably on dry land, it was as if they were still in the sea, as if the miracle had stayed with them and would stay with them. So my friends, how do we hold on to those incredible moments, the miraculous events of 55 years ago when the Jewish people came home to Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh? How do we contextualize those miraculous events? How do we put those miraculous moments within the context of the continuing story, the continuing drama of the unfolding of Jewish history and Jewish destiny right before our very eyes? And every single time we walk these cobblestones, these are the thoughts that I have. That tension between celebrating the miraculous return and longing for that which we still need to see happen with Mashiach Tzidkenu and Binyan Beit HaMikdash, that tension we feel every single moment that we have the opportunity to walk these cobblestones here in the Ir Atika. Come. We're standing now in what's known as Batei Machasa Square, which is one of the largest open areas in the Old City. Batei Machasa was a neighborhood that was built in the 1860s, primarily for impoverished Jewish immigrants from the Netherlands to have a place to live in amongst the overcrowded residences here in the Jewish quarter of the Old City. And it was funded by the great Jewish philanthropist, British Jewish philanthropist, Moses Montefiore. We also see behind us the Rothschild Building, which was funded through the philanthropy of Baron Edward de Rothschild of France, the great Jewish French philanthropist. And this neighborhood was a thriving Jewish neighborhood till May of 1948. And in May of 1948, of course, on an Erev Shabbat in May of 1948, the Jordanians rounded up the remnants of those who had not yet left the Old City, the remnants of the Jewish quarter, and gathered them here on that Erev Shabbat, here in this very square. And the Jordanians had blown up many of the buildings that were here, and they had left two pillars of smoke in place of the buildings. And the memoirs of many from that period recall that on that Erev Shabbat, the proverbial Shabbat candles that were lit here in the Jewish quarter were those two pillars of smoke that emanated from the blown out buildings here in the Jewish quarter. And the Jordanians gathered the Jews of the Jewish quarter in this square on that Erev Shabbat and told them, you have 24 hours to gather your belongings and leave. So, as you can see, when we came back here in 1967, or shortly thereafter, we've merited to restore this entire neighborhood. Today, it's a thriving Jewish neighborhood with multiple Jewish schools behind us, as well as apartments. There's a seminary behind us. And for a number of years, I would visit Yerushalayim, and I would sit right here on this little stoop over here, because surprisingly, there was decent Wi-Fi in the middle of the row over here. And I would sit and do some work and work on some writing. And one afternoon I'm sitting here, it was Hanukkah, I believe, sitting here and using my laptop. And all of a sudden I hear from the far corner, this elderly couple start arguing with one another. They've been sitting and playing chess together. I think they were speaking Russian or Ukrainian. And they start arguing with one another. I think the wife was upset at the move, the chess move that her husband had made, and they start arguing with one another. I just go back to my article, and then a bell rings. And suddenly, this entire square was filled with children coming out of school for recess. I smile, and I go back to my article that I was working on, and suddenly I look up and I see that there's a soccer ball kicked towards my general direction. And I instinctively lean over my computer to protect it until I hear the soccer ball land behind me. And I look up and I see the most incredible thing right over here. So the Jerusalem municipality, as they rebuilt this whole neighborhood, decided to place here on the wall these two psukim from the prophet Zechariah. Ko amar Hashem Tzvot, od yeshu zkenim zkenot b'rechavot Yerushalayim, v'ish misha'anto b'yado mirov yamin. That once again, men and women will grow old in the streets of Yerushalayim, and the elderly will walk with a staff to hold, support them in their old age. And the open areas, the streets of the city, will once again be filled with children playing throughout the streets. And I begin to cry, because I just witnessed with my own eyes in those few moments, this elderly couple who had merited to come back home to Yerushalayim from the former Soviet Republic, sitting and playing chess in the very streets that were now filled with children playing ball in those same streets. And I realized, I got goosebumps and I began to cry, and I realized that every minute that we're zocha to walk these cobblestones, we are part of the fulfillment of a 2,000-year-old nevuah coming true before our very eyes. Let's walk further together. We're standing now near one of two memorials for those that fell in defense of the yeshuv here in the Old City in 1948. This memorial is actually built specifically here, because when we came back in June of 1967, we found written on the walls here, and you can see this picture here, Kikan Nitmanu Chalalei Ha'ir Anitzara Hashem Yikam Dama, that here was the burial place of those that fell in defense of the city. May Hashem avenge their blood. The great rabbinic personality, Harav Yitzchak Avigdor Orenstein, who was the first Rav of the Kotel Maravi, he was approached on that Friday afternoon of May 1948, when it became clear that the Jews were not going to be able to stay here in the Old City, and it became clear to them that Har HaZeitim, the ancient Jewish cemetery, had also fallen to the Jordanians. They brought to him a very, very difficult halachic question. What are we to do in terms of burying the deceased who have fallen in defense of the Yishuv here? And Rabbi Orenstein gave the psak, Rabbi Victor Orenstein gave the psak, that they should bury them here in a kever achim, in a communal grave. And just 3 days later, Rabbi Orenstein and his wife, okay, also perished and were buried here on the day that the Jewish, the remnant of the Jewish Yishuv left the old city. In 1967, not only were we able to return back to the Jewish quarter, but also, Baruch Hashem, we were able to return and restore the ancient Jewish cemetery of Har HaZeitim, and all those that fell here in defense of the Ir HaTikva, and all those who were buried here, including Rabbi and Rabbanit Orenstein, were reinterred also in a Kever Achim on Har HaZeitim. You could see I don't know if Chaim can get a close-up, the sweet smile of Rabbi Orenstein. What a great light his neshama was. So we remember Rabbi Orenstein and all those who fell in the battle of 1948 to try to sustain the Yishuv here in the Old City. And one individual in particular that we're going to talk about in our next stop is Nissim Gini. Nissim Gini is the youngest individual to give their life in active service in the Israel Defense Forces, or at least the precursor to the Israel Defense Forces. And we're going to tell Nissim Gini's story just a few yards this way when we visit a second memorial to those that fell in the battles of 1948. So directly behind me, you see two rebuilt synagogues. Okay, the magnificent synagogue that stands tall behind us is known as the Chorva Synagogue, which literally means the destroyed synagogue. And below it, you'll see the Ramban Synagogue, the synagogue of the Ramban, Nachmanides. A shul stood at this site as early as the 11th century. However, when the Ramban comes to Yerushalayim in the 13th century, he describes that there's no Beit Knesset, there's only a Chorva, a ruin of the Beit Knesset, and he builds his Beit Midrash on the ruins of that destroyed Beit Knesset. In the 14th century, a synagogue was rebuilt here, and they estimate it stood for about 100 years until it was destroyed once again. In the 1760s, followers, students of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, a great Jewish leader in Poland, Ashkenazi leader in Poland, sent disciples here to begin to build a synagogue once again in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. That effort unfortunately failed because Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid passed away and they ran out of funds. And therefore, the synagogue was left incomplete once again in a ruins. In the 1860s, in 1865 to be exact, the synagogue was finally completed. The disciples, students, and followers of the Vilna Gaon made Aliyah to Yerushalayim and built a magnificent Ashkenazi synagogue here that stood as a center point of the Yeshuv, of the Jewish community, here in the Jewish quarter of the Old City, until May of 1948, when the Jordanians blew it up. When the Jewish people came back, when Am Yisrael came back to the Ir HaTikva after the miraculous events of the Six-Day War, it was initially decided that they were going to leave this synagogue in ruins. As a matter of fact, for years, when we would come into the Old City, the only thing that had been restored was one simple archway, as you can see on this famous postcard that I'm holding in my hands. And as we came into the stairs descending into the Jewish quarter, how did we know that we felt safe and comfortable that we had arrived in the Jewish quarter in those days before the synagogue was rebuilt? When we saw that archway, that one archway that had been restored as a remnant, as a reminder, as a zecher of the Chorva, of the destroyed synagogue. In the early 2000s, a chevra, an organization, decided to raise the funds to restore the Chorva Synagogue, and by 2010, it had been completely restored with painstaking attention to detail in order to make sure that this synagogue would be restored to its splendor once again. And today, It not only functions as a functioning synagogue, but as a beautiful visitor center and museum, but it's also an active, thriving synagogue and yeshiva. And perhaps we'll poke our head into the Chorva Synagogue as we go around the corner in just a moment. So we're now standing in front of the second of those two memorials that I spoke of for those who fell in the battle to defend the Yishuv here in 1948. And this particular memorial was built here, as you can see, just above the Cardo, just above this alleyway that runs basically the entire length of the old city, straight after the Arab Shuk, straight out through Shar Shechem, the Damascus Gate. The question is, why did they build this memorial here? So this alleyway, believe it or not, is the widest street in the entire old city. And therefore, Jordanian snipers would come down this alleyway to attack the Jews living here in the Jewish quarter. And therefore, stationed right here was a giant cannon, a turret, that was manned by a few soldiers. And that was the first line, or perhaps the last line of defense for the Yishuv here, to protect them from the Jordanian snipers that would come via this alleyway behind us. Now, the most amazing thing happened when they dug out this area behind us to build this memorial. When they dug out this area behind us, they found an ancient mikveh. And what does a mikveh represent? A mikveh represents immersing oneself after coming into contact, perhaps with potential for life that didn't come to fruition, and re-emerging from that loss to continue with life. That's what a mikveh represents. So, one of the great heroes of the Jewish people, the youngest person ever to give his life in active duty for Am Yisrael, was a young man by the name of Nissim Gini, who perished just short of his 11th birthday. Nissim Gini was what we call a runner. We think of the IDF today as being one of the most sophisticated militaries in the world. But in those days, in the years leading up to Qom Medina, the IDF was at most a group of militias that were trying their best to fend off the enemy and sustain Jewish life here in Artsenu HaKdosha. And the way that information was shared in those days was not via walkie-talkie per se, but intelligence was shared and information was shared by runners running from station to station, young men running from station to station and bringing information, bringing rations, food for those who were stationed here, protecting the Yishuv. And according to the facts as we know them, the best we know them, Nissim Gini was one of those runners who was struck by Jordanian fire just a few yards this way. And he bled out in the alleyway rather than endanger his comrades here who were protecting the Yishuv. If you think about it, it's an awesome example of Hashgacha Pratit, that the very spot where a memorial would be built to Nissim Gini and all those other young men who gave their lives to defend Yishuv here in Eretz Yisrael, they would find an ancient mikveh, a mikveh which represents the restoration of life after the potential for life is cut short, is lost. At the very spot where we remember Nissim Gini, whose life was cut short in order that the Jewish people should experience a renewal, a coming back to life here in Artsenu HaKadosha, that they should find an ancient mikveh here. Now the question is, why was there an ancient mikveh in this spot? And the answer to that question is just a few yards this way, down this alleyway in front of us, where we'll walk to in just a moment. So we're now in this beautiful plaza in front of the Chorva Synagogue. This is the main plaza, communal area of the Jewish quarter. You can see below me, I'm standing on these very old, rough-looking stones. These stones were actually found when they dug up this area to build this plaza. They found these stones. And rather than rebury them, they decided to actually bring them up and leave them exposed because the theory is that these stones date back to the time of Bayit Sheni, to the Second Temple, and that these stones were part of a bridge that ran from that mikvah that we just passed, that went straight to the Har Bayit, where Kohanim would immerse themselves in this mikvah and walk on this bridge directly to the Har Bayit. So when I walk through the Old City together with friends that are Kohanim, I make it a point to make sure they walk on these cobblestones here below me, to literally walk in the footsteps of their ancestors. And the truth is, I also go out of my way to walk on these stones, even though I'm not a Kohen, because I'm still literally walking in the footsteps of our ancestors as we walk through the streets together here in the Eir Atika. So when we came into the Old City, we spoke about how the walls that we call the Old City walls were actually built by the Ottomans and not the original walls and not the original border of the Old City. If you want to see the original wall of the Old City, take a look down below. This is known as the Broad Wall, and this is the wall of the Old City as it dates back to the time of Bayit Rishon. Everything on the other side of this wall, which by the way, they guesstimate was as high as this line on the side of this building here, but very broad, very wide. The archaeologists suggest that everything on the other side of this wall was within Yerushalayim, the original Yerushalayim, or the outside was outside the Old City. So the real Old City of Jerusalem is everything within this wall, projected down this way, down below to the City of David below. And we'll have a view of the City of David from a rooftop here in the Old City in just a few moments. So if you think about this, we walked on cobblestones dating back to the time of Bayit Sheni. Okay? Bayit Sheni, of course, is destroyed by the Romans. We're walking by this remnant of a wall dating back to the time of Bayit Rishon, which of course was destroyed by the Babylonians. Yet the Jewish people have come home to Yerushalayim. 2,000 years later, we've come home to Yerushalayim. The Babylonians have come and gone. The Romans have come and gone. The Ottomans have come and gone. The British mandate has come and gone. Am Yisrael has returned home to Yerushalayim, Eir HaKodesh. So we're standing in front of something incredible. This is the soon-to-be-restored Tiferet Yisrael Synagogue. The Tiferet Yisrael Synagogue was much like the Chorva, whom we spoke about a few moments ago, was destroyed in May of 1948 by the Jordanians, was blown up. The Tiferet Yisrael Synagogue was a magnificent, magnificent synagogue edifice that was built, commissioned to be built, by the great Hasidic master, Rabbi Yisrael Rezhin, the Rezhiner Rebbe. It was completed in the 1870s, and stood again until May of 1948, when the Jordanians leveled and destroyed the synagogue. And for many, many years, even after we had come back to the Rova, it had been literally left as a chorva, left in shambles. As a matter of fact, when I was a Rebbe in the yeshiva here for a number of years in the Old City, if I would spend Shabbat with the boys, we would come often on Friday nights, we'd bring tables and chairs and sit in the ruins of the Tiferet Yisrael Synagogue and have our tish there, to sit in the synagogue commissioned by the great Rebbe of Rishon, the original Rebbe, and sing some of his nigunim together was something very, very powerful and palpable. The Rebbe's grandson, the Biana Rebbe, commissioned an exact replica of this building to be built in Geula, where it stands today, known as the Masifta Tiferet Yisrael, the Matifta Tiferet Yisrael of the Biana Hasidim on Malchay Yisrael Street in Geula. You can go see that building. But just recently, the past 2 years, they've, Baruch Hashem, secured the funding, and as you can see, made great progress to restore and rebuild this magnificent synagogue once again in coming back to life here in Yerushalayim, Eir HaKodesh. So literally every single day as we walk through these cobblestones, there are new things being rebuilt. Things are being rebuilt. Things are being reestablished. Jewish life continues to thrive here. And on one hand, it's very, very meaningful and very powerful. On the other hand, it's a powerful reminder of what we still long for, what still is incomplete as well. So we're standing now in front of what's called the remnants of what's called the German Hospice. The theory is that crusaders from Frankfurt am Main in Germany came to Yerushalayim 940 years ago to make this city a Christian city, exclusively Christian city, to conquer Yerushalayim and once again make it devoid of any Jewish life. It's amazing, 940 years later, on the remnants of the foundation of that massive Crusader fortress. There's a Jewish neighbor that's been built, literally, housing projects have been built on that foundation. And part of that little complex is an incredible place known as the Yeshivat Oraita, where I had the great zechut to teach as part of the faculty for a number of years, where young men come from all over the world to study Torah. Think about this. In the very place where the Crusaders came to try to conquer Yerushalayim, the very place where that fortress stood, where they tried to make Yerushalayim devoid of anything connected to Judaism, young men come from all over the world to learn our Torah Kedosha at that very place. We're going to take a walk together to the magnificent rooftop overlook, the rooftop overlook of Yeshiva Doraita, where there's a breathtaking view that's waiting for us, and we'll end our tour there. So we're now on the rooftop of Yeshiva Doraita. As you can see, there's a magnificent view of the entire Kotel Plaza, the Kotel, the Har HaBayit behind us, and this beautiful place. The Yeshiva comes up here often on Friday nights. Often, I know also for Yom Kippur, they daven Kol Nidre and the Ilan, this beautiful rooftop, looking over Har HaBayit. And most important about this rooftop is that it's here in this very spot that I proposed to my wife, I won't say how many years ago, Baruch Hashem, standing here on this very rooftop. Now, you take a look at this. You see, not only in the far distance, you see Har HaTzofim, Mount Scopus. If you look, gaze this way and down below, you'll see Ir David, as we mentioned when we were standing in the Rova above, the ancient city of David is down below. This is everything from Ir David up to that broad wall is really, we could call the original old city of Jerusalem. Our neighbor where we live in Armon and Tziv is just over here on this hilltop. And standing on this rooftop, I can't help but recall an exchange that I saw in the Israeli newspaper Ma'ariv going back more than a decade ago. There was a gentleman who had grown up in Yerushalayim before the expulsion of the Yeshuv in 1948, who grew up in Yerushalayim in the 1920s and 30s. And he wrote a beautiful, poignant piece called Eifo HaKotel Sheli, Where is my Kotel? Where is my Western Wall? And he talks about how growing up in the Ir Atika in the 1920s and 30s, when the city wasn't as built up, where the narrow passageways were even more narrow, were even more maze-like, when you came to the Kotel Maravi, which didn't have this magnificent plaza built before it, it was just a small little narrow entryway to get to stand before the Kotel. So by the time you got to the Kotel, you had a very real, palpable sense of Zecher L'Chorban, of recalling the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It was a very powerful piece. A few days later, someone wrote a letter to the editor thanking them for this beautiful piece, but saying, I want to take contention with one point, and that is the Kotel as we have it today, with the magnificent plaza that's built up, that's lit up 24/7, where people can come from all over the world to pour their hearts out before. That's a Zecher L'Mikdash. That's a reminder of what it meant to have a Beis HaMikdash. Ki Beiti Beit Tfilai Kerei L'Chol Amim. That people will come from all over the world to pour their hearts out before the Ribono Shel Olam at the Makom HaMikdash. My friends, as we celebrate the return to Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, 55 years since Ichud Yerushalayim, the great events of the Six-Day War. My bracha for every single one of us is that we should hold on to that tension that we've experienced today, walking these cobblestones, feeling that tension between the palpable sense of the return to Yerushalayim while still longing for the Geula Shlema and the Binyan Beit HaMikdash. I want to wish everyone a Yom Yerushalayim Sameach. I want to thank you for spending these few minutes together with me here. And I look forward to spending even more time together walking these cobblestones together on your next visit to Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Yom Yerushalayim Sameach.